This episode is brought to you in part by the Table Podcast from the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm Daryl Bach, one of the hosts, and I invite you to join us as we discuss issues of God and culture, which includes anything and everything. Listen on your podcast app or at dts.edu/thetable.
Hello, this is Russell Moore, and this is the Russell Moore Podcast, specifically our Questions and Ethics segment, where I take your moral dilemmas and ethical questions and try my best to help you think them through from a biblical perspective. Remember, if you have a question about something that you're grappling with, maybe something that's happening in your family or your workplace or a relationship or your church or wherever, let me know. Email me at questions@russellmoore.com. I will not use your name unless you tell me to. I will make up a pseudonym for you. So I'm not gonna embarrass you or reveal what's going on unless you want me to say who you are. And sometimes I'll do that if you ask me to. This episode's question comes from, I'll call her Naomi. And this is a question that Naomi is grappling with about family secrets. And specifically in her case, she had a family friend. This is the long and short of it. It's a long story, but the long and short of it is this. She had a family friend very close to her parents, thought of this person as almost like an uncle. Kind of, many of us have uncles and aunts that aren't really uncles and aunts, but we think of them that way. I'm going to call this guy Malcolm because I'm going to be referring to him often. So I'm thinking about C.S. Lewis's letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer, and so I'll just name him Malcolm. She's really, really close to this guy. And Naomi says that one time when she was little, she heard her parents arguing, and it was really disturbing to her. And she heard her dad say something about Naomi's real dad, which was, I mean, obviously that would be alarming and horrifying because you would think, well, what are you talking about? You're my real dad. But it was something she just sort of put out of her mind, and she moved on, and her parents never said anything about it. She never said anything about it, but this family friend, this Malcolm, would pay a lot of attention to Naomi in a way that he didn't to her brothers and sisters. He would give her special Christmas presents. He would give her special birthday presents. She would notice if they would go over to his house that he would have pictures of her up, and he wouldn't of the other kids. So this went on for a very long time until Naomi's grown, and she started to finally have this conversation with Malcolm. I think her mom had died long before. And she says to Malcolm, I want to figure this out. And she did a paternity test, and it turns out Malcolm's her dad, her biological dad. This happened really right before he died. So Naomi's situation is she's got this story about her life that's really confusing and important, and she's trying to work through it, but she can't talk to her mom about it, who's gone. She can't talk to her dad about it, who's gone. She can't talk to Malcolm, who she finds out now is her dad, because he's gone, and her siblings don't want her to tell the story at all, don't want her to tell the story to her kids, don't want her to tell the story to anybody else, because they think that it would dishonor their mother. Because, I mean, it would reveal that their mother had had an adulterous affair. Now, what's interesting to me is the fact that a lot of people in that situation, I think, would have some anger toward the mother. How could you cheat on my dad? Or how could you not tell me about this for all of these years? Naomi really doesn't seem that way. What she is saying is she understands that this was a different time where women didn't have as many options as they would have right now, and where people couldn't talk as openly or as vulnerably about what was going on in their lives as perhaps they could right now in a church context or somewhere else. And she says, she doesn't excuse the adultery at all, but she says, my mother was in an abusive and a situation of abuse and infidelity, and I can see how she could feel trapped and how she could seek solace in Malcolm, even though it's wrong morally for her to have done so. So I think, just based on the little bit that I know, that Naomi's thinking through this situation with a great deal of charity and empathy toward everyone else, especially given how personally involved she is in this, and seems to recognize, should your mother and Malcolm have had an adulterous affair? No. Should your mother have lied to you and not told you who your biological father is? No. Should Malcolm have not revealed to you the connection that he obviously knew that he had? No. Should Naomi indicates that her dad, who she believed to be her dad, the one who raised her, that he treated her differently. It's one of the things, looking back, she can say, I was treated differently from the other siblings. Should he have done that? No. Okay. So we can agree that all those things are not the way that they should be. And we can also agree that there is no way for you to change any of those things now. So that's all happened. The interesting thing is the scriptures go out of their way to show us repeatedly how bad family situations and bad family dynamics weave together toward people and situations that are not bad. So, you know, sometimes I think that people can have this sense of when they find out a family secret, regardless of what the family secret is, they can have this tendency to think, oh, well, this means that I'm from bad stock, to use a sort of livestock imagery here. And that means that I'm bad. And it means that I'm predestined to sort of live out whatever the dysfunction was in the background. And that's just not true. And if you're somebody who's familiar with the Bible, you're going to see that even in the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew and Luke, you can go back and see family situations that were awful in the background that were working themselves out and leading toward Jesus Christ. So you shouldn't bear any sense of shame personally for any of that. I don't read that you do, but a lot of people do. And so you shouldn't read that into it. But the second part of it is this question of, this is a secret. Siblings want to keep it secret, and you can understand why. I mean, there was an old song. I had an album that I used to, from the time I was 3 years old, maybe even younger, because my dad listened to it all the time. And it was a Grand Ole Opry compilation album that they did, I think, when they moved from the Ryman to the new location back in the early 70s. And there was an album that came together that I would listen to way back in the day, continue to listen to all through my teenage years, early adult years, on, if you can believe this, an 8-track. Because I still had an old 8-track player that had belonged to my granddad, and this was on 8-track, and I would know how to put it, even though that technology was long gone by then, put it in until it was destroyed. My wife found an old record of this, and she had it transferred over to MP3 format, so I have it now, and it was always one of the best gifts I've ever received. But on that album, and I sort of grew up listening to this, there's a spoken word sort of songs, music in the background, the Carroll County Accident. And the gist of this song is about a child who finds out that a parent was having an adulterous affair. This person revered in the community dies. And this person is saying, I'm going to honor this parent. I'm never going to tell this story. Okay, now, obviously, the person is telling the story because you're listening to it on a spoken word album. But the point remains the same. And there's a sense of honor and nobility to that. So, in other words, you're going to say, I recognize that I have a parent or whoever in your line who was a sinner. I'm not going to dishonor that person by revealing that in a way that would take away from their memory when there's nothing that can be done about it right now. I get that, and I think there is something noble about that. But This is different, I think, because what Naomi is, it seems to me, wanting to do is not to reveal something bad about her mother. I don't think she is picturing, at least not to me, picturing her mother in a bad light at all. What she's wanting to do is to tell her story. And what I would say is, this is your story too. I get why your siblings initially would want to say, we don't want this being told, but this is your story too. There are all sorts of awkward things that you're going to hear about your parents later on. I mean, even just all of us are going to realize, and I think sometimes you realize it as you are, those of you who are parents, you start to realize, oh, I thought that my parents had everything outlined in their minds. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were trying to communicate. And then you realize you're trying to figure this stuff out. And they were too. And sometimes you look back and say, wow, my parents, when I thought that they were sort of Solomon seated on the throne of wisdom, they were young kids sometimes trying to, okay, that's you figure all that stuff out, and you start to have a certain sense of sympathy and empathy for your parents. In this case, there are all sorts of reasons why it is good that you found this out. Medical issues. I mean, your children need to know what their potential medical history is based upon this family line. Sometimes people don't know. There are some of you who were adopted as babies, and you don't even know who you're biologically connected to. And when you go to the doctor and they say, do you have a family history of heart disease or family history of cancer? You don't know the answer to that. Okay, nothing can be done about that. But in this case, your children could. And so I think that they're owed that information, and I don't think that it's right for you to not be able to communicate your story in appropriate venues. I mean, this is a key part of who you are, learning and discovering your father much later in life, having a relationship with him that you thought was one thing and it turned out to be something else. That's a key part of your story that I don't think you owe to your mother to keep in some sort of secretive situation. There are a lot of people who are in this situation. It doesn't sound like Naomi is, but a lot of people in this situation who would also have a sense of loyalty to their dad, the dad who raised them. Sounds like Naomi's situation was bad. In terms of the dad. But for some of you, it wouldn't be. And I think you can certainly honor your father who raised you through adoption in heroic terms sometimes, while still telling the truth about the story as to where you came from. And it sounds like in this case, what Naomi's grappling with is not this sort of embedded anger. She is able to say, I don't excuse the morality of this, but I get it. I can see how this happened. And I think that that's a really good place to be, but this is your story. And what I would also say is that it's important for you to grieve the multiple losses that you have had here. So you've not only lost your dad who raised you, you lost your biological dad, you lost your mom, you also lost a great deal of your childhood because you didn't, you weren't able to relate to Malcolm as your dad all those years. And you lost the ability to talk to your mom to say, what was going on? Why did this happen? What were you thinking when you were trying to figure out how to make the best of a terrible situation? You've lost all of that, and I think you should appropriately grieve that while at the same time recognizing that that may have been lost, but you're not lost. You have found an identity in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You've found a family and a community. And whatever the backstory is that you have, all of us have tragic backstories in some way or the other, and God is nonetheless working all things together for the good of those who love him, Romans chapter 8. You can have confidence in all of that and know that Jesus knew your backstory all the while. He was with you through all of those things, and this is something that you know about your backstory. You didn't need it to know who you are. You can find out who you are, because really, we're not the sum total of our genetic material, and we're not just the sum total of our experiences. Each person is individual and unique, and yes, all of those things play a big role in who we are, but it doesn't make us predictable sort of... half of your mother and half of your father is you. You're a unique person. And so I would just say that's your story. And I think you can be free to tell it. And I think you know how. Do you have a question? Something that you're grappling with right now and that I can help you to try to think through? Well, if you do, send it to questions@russellmoore.com. And thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, or if you're watching it on YouTube, to subscribe here. And it helps if you leave a review for people to find us. This is Russell Moore. Onward.